The Japanese have long known the benefits of forest bathing. That's their term for hanging out in the wilderness. I don't know if you've ever been to an onsen out in the wilderness, but there is nothing like it. Just being surrounded by trees is good for both our physical and mental health. So it makes perfect sense that using wood in the design of our buildings would have a similar effect. David Rawlinson is on a mission to convince us to use more timber in our building designs, and he joins me now. Hello, David.
Hi, Miff. How are you?
Fantastic. David, do timber structures improve our health?
Yes, they do. They undoubtedly do. They're very good from, obviously, from an environmental perspective, but also from a health and well-being perspective. And there's a wealth of research, an increasing body of research that proves this quite empirically.
And what does it say that it does in improving our health?
Well, basically, if we go back to the way that buildings have been constructed probably in the last century or so, we've got increased urbanisation here in Australia and around the rest of the world, and that's what causing what was called a disconnect with nature. We know from research that most of us spend at least 90% of our time indoors, and that's correlating with increases in obesity and mental health issues and so on. We know that our physiological response is controlled by what's called the sympathetic nervous system. And if we're exposed to spaces that increased stress response, things like increased blood pressure and heart rate, that can potentially have a long-term increase in harmful health impacts. So a lot of the research, and this stems back, to the 1980s and before, there's a term called biophilia, which was termed by an American scientist called Edward O. Wilson. And biophilia is essentially the love of natural things or our innate desire to be connected to nature. And a concept that's becoming recently very, very popular is called biophilic design. And it's the way to incorporate natural materials like wood and indoor plants into the design of buildings. And research shows quite conclusively that this can have a significant and long-term benefit on our health and well-being. Research shows that we're more productive in offices, our behaviour, we're less stressed in offices, children learn better in schools, hospital stays can be reduced if we're surrounded by natural materials and have views of nature and so on. And indeed, there's research that shows increased interaction between patients in our residents of an aged care facility. So there are lots of benefits that this type of design concept, as I mentioned, it's been termed biophilia or biophilic design, can bring to the indoor environment of a building.
What are those studies that says it improves interaction for elderly people in aged care homes? I think this is really interesting.
It is. I point people to the makeitwood.org website. There's a study that we, Planet Ark, produced, and it was published in March last year. The study is called Wood Nature Inspired Design, and it's available for download at that website. And it highlights there are, in fact, 92 references in the report which show that this research about these benefits of biophilic design that I mentioned. And there's a couple of studies, one in New Zealand and one in Japan that are highlighted in the report, where they compare the behaviour of residents of aged care facilities, firstly when they're surrounded by predominantly man-made materials, and secondly where they're surrounded by predominantly natural materials and with lots of wood. And the research showed quite conclusively that they were much more expressive, their interactions improved, they were much more, as I say, expressive and talkative and friendly. And we know in Australia, dementia costs of the order of about $5 billion per annum. So if we can ameliorate that by using these natural materials like timber and the interior fabric of buildings, it can have, you know, significant economic beneficial effects. And the same is true in the healthcare sector and certainly the education sector. Again, we know from research, which is highlighted in the report, that school children, and they measured their blood pressure and their heart rate and so on, again, comparing their behaviour in predominantly man-made environments to environments with lots of natural materials like wood. And again, their stress response, their blood pressure and heart rate was noticeably lower. And again, there can be, this can be significantly beneficial for many, many students in the education sector.
That so there are proven benefits. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. What about in hospitals? Does it mean faster healing times?
It can. Again, research shows, and there are a number of components to this, things like having views of nature outside, having lots of natural daylighting, if it's possible to utilise indoor plants, natural ventilation. The studies again show that this can lead to reduced post-operative recovery times. So
Wow. That's
good for the patient, and it's obviously good for the hospital as well, because they get more throughput. So there are definitely economic as well as physiological and psychological benefits to this type of design.
Okay, so in terms of our benefits, it's not just about getting outdoors, it's about bringing the outdoors in. And I imagine that has other impacts on creativity and also happiness.
It does indeed, yes. Again, the research shows quite clearly, and there was a research project which was concluded in February this year by a strategic market research company based in Sydney, which asked over 1,000 respondents in office environments to ask a series of questions over about half an hour, and the research showed quite conclusively the increased use of wood is associated with increased satisfaction, creativity, productivity, and interestingly, in reduced absenteeism. Again, that report, as I mentioned, the website's makeitwood.org and is available for download there. And I commend it to your listeners. It's a fascinating read and shows, again, quite conclusively. And the nice thing about that is it's a world first. It's, as far as we're aware, it's the only research of its type that's ever been conducted around the world, and shows a tangible benefit in using more wood in the interior fabric of buildings.
Okay, so if I go to work every day in an office building that is very sterile, I sit at my desk every day, I'm in an open plan office, what can I do to bring some of this into my life? Is it as simple as bringing a pot plant and popping it on your desk?
All of these things help. There are lots of components to this, obviously some of which, not many of which you would have control as an individual sitting in a space, but certainly the more natural ventilation we can create, the more natural daylighting that we can have. And if you can't do that, what I would say is get out of the office if you can.
Yeah.
Research shows, again, quite conclusively that just 10 minutes a day, if you can be in a parkland or a woodland area, that's great. But, of course, in the centre of big cities, that's not always possible. Mm. But just getting out, even for 10 minutes a day, can have significant long-term physiological and psychological benefits. But in addition to that, things like, yes, pot plants, using, bookcases, natural, wooden bookcases, or wooden desks, as much wood in the environment, wooden picture frames, for example, photographs of nature, or obviously of family as well. All those things can certainly help, that's for sure.
Okay, this is really interesting. How should we use the timber then? You say even down to wooden picture frames, but I'm thinking about on the walls. Should it be exposed timber? Can it be painted over? What's the best way to make the most of the benefits from timber? Should it be visible?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're starting to see what's called engineered timber, things like cross-laminated timber, glue-laminated veneer lumber and other materials like that used in much larger buildings. The tallest timber building in the world at the moment is a student residence building in Vancouver. It's 18 stories or 53 metres tall, basically all made out of timber apart from the ground floor. And one of the sadnesses I was at the building last year, apart from the top floor, you can't tell it's a timber building because most of it's covered over with fire protective plasterboard.
Okay.
And you don't get the benefit from a biophilic design perspective of that. So the more that we can expose the timber, and we're now starting to see office buildings, library buildings, swimming pools where the timber is exposed, it is perfectly possible within, using design criteria to do that. And you get significantly increased benefit, particularly from a health and well-being perspective, if the timber is exposed. And it's perfectly possible to do that these days.
Well, there are a couple of things that came up in what you said just then. The first was fire protection. We worry about fire here in Australia because we have bushfires regularly. Are these buildings tinderboxes?
No, they're not. They're designed, buildings are essentially designed not so that they won't burn, but they're designed so that in the event of a fire, people can evacuate safely.
Right.
That's essentially the way that they're designed. And the benefit of timber, particularly these larger buildings using what's called engineered timber, is that they rely on what's called a charring effect. When timber burns, it chars on the outside, And what that does, it slows the burning process down. And the important part about that is it's extremely predictable. So in the event of a fire, we know very accurately how long it's going to take for the timber to burn. And so you can design for that. And in many instances, particularly I was in, as I say, Canada last year on that the student residence building called Brock Commons. And the chief fire engineer of Vancouver was there on site. And he said, without doubt, this would be the safest building in Vancouver because it's been so rigorously designed and the evacuation period. So indeed, so they're not tinder boxes. They are designed to be extremely safe. They're, you know, their behaviour in the event of a fire is extremely predictable, that helps in getting people out of the building in those events.
Yeah. The other one that I'm sure people are probably a bit concerned about, given we all feel for our natural environment, does this mean having to chop down more trees?
Well, it does, because obviously you can't get wood without harvesting trees. I think probably the most important facet there is the use of what's called certification. There are two major bodies around the world that certify forests and production of timber. And the vast, vast majority of the timber that's used in the construction industry would be certified by one or both of those organisations. And what that does, it proves that the timber comes from responsibly managed forests and plantations, and that when a tree is harvested, another one, or typically in most cases, more than one, is planted in its place. And this comes to the renewability of timber. I mentioned earlier on this building in Canada, Brock Commons, it's currently the tallest timber building in the world. There's 2,233 cubic metres of engineered timber in that building, and they've calculated that in US and Canadian forests alone, that would be regrown in about 6 minutes. Now, obviously, no other material can make that claim. And here in Australia, for example, there's about 125 million hectares of forest, of which 2 million hectares are plantation. So plantation stock is about 1.6% of the total forest area and responsible for well over 85% of all the timber that's harvested. Certification does prove that timber comes from, as I say, responsibly managed forests and plantations. So, and it can be replanted, and I guess that's the major issue to make sure that does in fact happen.
Yeah, it's the replanting that needs to happen. I've heard this phrase when it comes to what you're talking about, embodied energy. What does embodied energy mean?
All of the energy that goes into the production of a material, from extraction of raw materials, production, life in use and end of life disposable, you add all of that energy together and it's called the embodied energy. And the embodied energy in timber is significantly less than more carbon intensive materials like concrete and steel. To give you as a rough rule of thumb, if we can convert a cubic metre of a solid material like concrete into a cubic metre of timber, it's going to divert about a tonne or 1,000 kilos of CO2 from going into the atmosphere. So it can have significant benefits in terms of the reduction of CO2 emissions. In Australia, the construction sector is responsible for about 23% of the total CO2 emissions. So if we can use a lot more timber, there's a potential to not just slightly reduce that figure, but to significantly reduce it. Because, as I say, the embodied energy inherent within timber is substantially lower than other more carbon-intensive materials like concrete and steel.
Yeah. What about bamboo? Grows really easily. Is it as good as timber?
It is. Bamboo is a grass, so technically it's not a timber. It is used in construction, probably more commonly in Southeast Asia. Mm. We haven't seen much bamboo construction here, so we don't, from Planet Ark's perspective, get too directly involved in bamboo, as I say, because it's technically a grass rather than a timber. But nonetheless, it's a renewable resource and it can be used. But it's not a subject that matter that I'm across terribly detailed.
Something to explore in the future, perhaps.
Potentially, absolutely.
Look, this is all very fascinating. And you know what? As soon as you say it, it makes perfect sense. Of course we should surround ourselves with natural materials. Although I still love those 60s buildings that are concrete, but also utilise a lot of timber inside. Did they have the right idea then? And quite often they'd bring in the interior garden as well. Did they have the right idea back then?
I think they did. I mean, part of the campaign, it's not to say that all things should be timber, because, of course, that's not realistic.
No.
It's about using materials where they make sense. So, yes, timber now can be used as a primary structural material, but it certainly, and for many decades, and if not centuries, has been used for the construction of housing. And we know research shows that over 96% of people love the look and feel of timber. So you almost can't go wrong by using timber as an interior covering in as I say, hospitals or schools or homes or apartment buildings or whatever. But yeah, it's using materials where they make sense. And timber has a big part to play in that, I think.
I love anyone that suggests we make our homes like a Nordic ski lodge. I'm here for this. So that's fantastic.
Fantastic.
David Rawlinson, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today.
It's been greatly appreciated. I've enjoyed the discussion. Thank you so much.
David Rawlinson there, who is Planet Ark's Make It Wood campaign manager. And David will be speaking at the International Arts and Health Conference in Port Macquarie next week.